Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We go to the hotline and welcome in longtime sportscaster John Telechin. Oh, JT, just another wonderful week in the world of the Cleveland Browns, huh? No major news or anything like that to report of this week. Oh, wait a minute. No, there is. Number four sidelined once again, this time for a long time.
Oh, I feel like a fireman who gets back from one call and then gets called out on something else. You just think you know, it's safe to come back to the station and maybe relax for a little bit, do some drills, be ready for the next one, and then it just happens right after that. It's been a wild year, and I have to credit my buddy Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, who said this season has been like flying the plane as they build it, and he is so on the money because this has been – every week there has been something that they've had to deal with, but the latest gut punch, if you will, is the biggest kind of a gut punch of all to lose Deshaun for the rest of the year.
And obviously, as we have alluded to here, Deshaun Watson out for the remainder of the year as he will have to undergo a season-ending shoulder surgery after a hit that he suffered in that win against the Ravens. So, I mean, man, yeah, you get, what, 2-3.5 days to celebrate a big-time road victory over Baltimore. You move to 6-3. You got the big, bad Pittsburgh Steelers coming into town on Sunday. And, man, just a little deflating. But I will say, in listening to Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski's comments on Wednesday afternoon, I mean, obviously there's some coach speak or GM speak that goes into this, but they're still optimistic about not just Sunday, but the rest of this season. They're still fully confident in what they've got in that locker room.
Yeah, they really seem to be, and they've been handed a whole bunch of adversity as this year has gone along. Some of that self-inflicted. I know the much publicized way that they handled Deshaun early on, which led to them thinking he was playing in that one game, and then all of a sudden he couldn't right before they played the Ravens. And then all of a sudden, boom, into the game goes DTR, and that was not a fun game to watch. So, yeah, they've had instances where the offense has been playing half decent, running the ball pretty well, but then maybe a little bit of a leak on the defensive side of the ball. But by and large, Rocco, this year to be 6-3 with all that has gone on, all of the stuff with the two backup quarterbacks, and then of course losing the two tackles and the biggest blow of all in game two, losing Nick, for them to be at 6-3, count your blessings in many ways. For them to be sitting here at 6-3 with a home game against the Steelers on the docket for 1 p.m. Sunday, this thing could have gone off the rails a month and a half ago, and they could be sitting here not 6-3, but 3-6.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. So looking ahead, I guess, you know, we'll circle back to the Steelers as a whole this Sunday, JT.
Sure.
But Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR, as he's known as, getting a chance to start, as Kevin Stefanski noted on Wednesday, and it'll be his first time back in since that start against the Ravens earlier in the year. Obviously, things did not go well all around that game. Again, going to Stefanski's comments, I mean, there's some confidence with what DTR maybe learned from that game, what he's learned in all the games since, just from the, you know, a sideline perspective. What are kind of some general expectations for him?
Well, I think Kevin has kind of learned on the fly how to run this offense as the year and the abilities or lack thereof in some instances of his quarterbacks not named Deshaun Watson are on the roster. He has had that run game, the physical run game, be one of its calling cards. You lose Nick Chubb, so then you go with a more of a heavier situation for your offense, and you run the tandem of Hunt and Ford. Like this past week, we ran for 172 yards, Rocco. I thought that was exceptionally impressive. You've got the heavy lineup with Nick Harris in the game quite a bit. He's gotten slightly fancy with, you know, bringing in Harrison Bryant on occasion, or having Kareem pitch the ball on a few occasions as well, or pitching it forward to him. They've been able to be very effective at running the football, and I think that's one of the keys to being a successful team. Can you run the ball? And on the other side, how good are you at stopping the run? And this time around, DTR, I don't think, is going to have as much on his plate. First of all, It was the dropping the bomb on him an hour and a half before the game. You're starting. Good luck. The game plan seemed to have a lot of stuff that put him at a disadvantage making his first NFL start. Now he'll have a full week of preparation. They can run the football. Look what they did on Sunday, as I mentioned. I mean, 178 yards is really nothing, and they've been doing it in this new look offense with Stefanski running things. They've had five straight games, Rocco, of 150 yards or more. And wow. One thing that made me think that he's really married to the run and knows that he has a successful group that's been getting it done despite the new tackles having to come in, literally backups to backups, playing at one of the tackle spots this past Sunday. But what happened on Sunday was they went down 14-0. They were down 17-3. They were down 24-9. They were down 31-17. Each of those four instances were two scores, you know, three 14-point deficits, one 15-pointer. Four different occasions they were down that much. And I know in the past they would have said, you know, they'd have to start chucking the ball all over the yard.
Yeah.
And they really didn't. Deshaun threw 14 balls in the second half. He was spectacular in the second half, and I was really impressed knowing what I know today. Back then, we didn't know that he was playing with a high ankle sprain. We know the ankle was, you know, he was bothered by it. High ankle sprain and then plus a broken bone in his shoulder. He showed a lot of guts. But the team as a general showed that, you know, stand up to the opposition and not take any guff from them. From the get-go, when you had guys like Tillman blocking Van Hoy, getting him knocked down to the turf, and Teller knocking someone on their fanny. The Browns showed that they were kind of like the bully of the neighborhood, and they were at someone else's neighborhood. And I thought that was very impressive what they did. And then, of course, the whole dog pile that they showed when they pushed the whole scrum there another 10 yards for Ford in that final drive. I was really impressed by what they did. And I know everybody in that building has a body of work that they can feel strong about and they can build off of. So I'm not doom and gloom guy on them. It would be great to have Watson healthy for the next eight games, don't get me wrong. But by virtue of that defense with Garrett and company, I'm not feeling as much doom and gloom for them.
You know, obviously the defense will certainly have to step up, as again we're talking some Browns football with John Telich on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge in Barton Road. So we won't have to go, you know, too deep into the defense. Obviously there has to be an elevated level of play there, and they have done that all year long. But you mentioned kind of, you know, the physicality and yeah. not being bullied and instead being the bully. I thought somebody yeah. who embodied that, and you sent this in our pre-interview notes here, David Njoku. I mean, I know he didn't punch it into the end yeah. zone, but man, he was running people over in front of their wives and children in Baltimore. I mean, my goodness.
he did, you know, he was very impactful. I think, again, for that, the whole bully mentality, how he took a defender another 15 yards down the field. And, you know, he did have a drop on the sideline in the end. You wash that out. That happens on occasion. But the yards after contact for David, and he's going to have to really come up big this week because, again, I don't expect DTR to be throwing the ball all over the lot. I don't expect to see him throwing a lot of deep balls. Maybe once or twice they'll take a shot. He'll be very busy just trying to keep TJ Watt out of his back pocket. And, you know, that will be no small task for the offensive line, to say the least. But I was really impressed by what David Njoku did, how calm he was out there on that field, and how he took no prisoners when he got the football. They'll need more of that. You won't see, I would assume, as much targeting towards Amari Cooper with DTR there than you saw when Deshaun Watson was playing in fits and starts this year. But Amari Cooper is going to be really big in the grand scheme of things. They need some playmakers. They need, you know, they need on occasion something big to happen from our buddy, Mr. Moore. He's got to make a game-changing kind of a play for them. But they have the team, if they play clean on the turnover side of things, they have the team that can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on their own, on the turf at First Energy or whatever they call it now, Stadium. They have the team that can beat them, and I don't think they're in that woe-is-me category in Berea. I think they know it's tough, but they're going to suck it up and play their best football of the year this Sunday against the Steelers.
And you know, it's two different teams from the first time they met, but yeah. I think there's a lot of Browns fans, and I'm sure plenty of Steelers fans who were thinking after that first game, man, how did the Browns lose that one? And that's what we were kind of talking about the whole week after. So, looking at this Sunday, obviously Steelers coming into town this time around, both teams sitting at 6-3, looking to climb their way through the AFC North. Kenny Pickett and friends, that offense coming in. What are kind of our early assumptions on how that game goes down? It feels like if the Browns could just not turn the football over, kind of control the clock, control the football, I think they'll be in okay shape.
Well, I would imagine with both teams' abilities to run the football, and my goodness, the Steelers in 2 weeks have run for 340 yards.
Yeah.
So they've got a nice tandem there that can get it done. They have a head coach who knows how to win those close games. They have 5 wins this year by one score or less, obviously, by one score. And that's very impressive. And what I've really come to look at and see from the Steelers this year as well is the fact that they've been pretty much outgained almost, I think, nine out of their 10 games this year. Every game this year, actually, they have been outgained, but yet they've managed to win 6 of those contests. And the way they run the football is very impressive. Just look back to last week. They averaged 5.7 yards per carry. Browns are doing the same type of thing, Rocco. They are imposing their will on the other team with that offensive line, with the heavy lineup, with both Ford and Kareem. Kareem getting those real tough yards. Very impressive to see, and I think we'll see a lot more of that type of – I would be shocked if there's all kinds of trickeration and bells and whistles, per se. This is going to be the old AFC Central when you saw the Browns and the Steelers fighting each other in between plays. This will be the same kind of deal with the Browns' AFC North battle with the Steelers. And this division is just absolutely insane. In the Athletic, the Browns are number 5 in the power rankings. Have they ever been that high in recent memory? I can't recall that, yeah. Rocco. Of course, the Athletic hasn't been here all these years in the last 20-some years, but they're 5, Baltimore 6, Cincy 8, and the Steelers 14. And I think maybe the Steelers should be up 2 or 3 pegs from that. It's just an amazing division. Fun to see how much fire that's within it. The Browns now on the level with the Ravens, and then the Browns knowing they can go toe-to-toe with the Steelers and have already had the number of Joe Burrow and the Bengals. This is setting up to be a lot of fun as the years go along here, but let's first get through this game.